This is Toby Sumter with your Cross Politic Daily News Brief for Thursday, October 22nd, 2020. Today I'll hear about two Colorado churches with a federal court win over COVID restrictions. The Pope embraces two-kingdom theology. COVID deaths are plummeting, even while cases rise in many places. And the Department of Justice has brought an antitrust lawsuit against Google. Remember, if you come across a news story you think we might need to cover, please send it to news@crosspolitic.com. This is a great way to share articles and stories with us that may end up in our daily or weekly shows. news@crosspolitic.com. First up, two Colorado churches win in federal court. Two Colorado churches will no longer be required to wear masks or limit their numbers as required by the governor of Colorado's COVID-19 mandates. The pastors of two Colorado churches, Bob Inyert of Denver Bible Church in Wheat Ridge and Joey Rhodes of Community Baptist Church in Brighton, filed the lawsuit back in August. The lawsuit, special counsel Rebecca Messel, one of the Thomas More Society attorneys representing the Colorado pastors, says, calls both the federal government and Colorado leaders into account for their violations of the right to free exercise of religion, among other abuses of power, primarily resulting from Governor Jared Polis's COVID-19 related executive orders. A spokesperson from the governor's office last Thursday indicated the state's attorney general filed an emergency motion for an injunction on Monday to keep the orders in place, and the state plans to appeal the federal judge's decision. In his ruling, U.S. District Court Judge Daniel D. Domenico, go Daniel D. Domenico, DDD, he stated the Constitution does not allow the state to tell a congregation how large it can be when comparable secular gatherings are not so limited, or to tell a congregation that its reason for wishing to remove facial coverings is less important than a restaurant's or a spa's. It's like the boy who cried wolf, Inyert told CBS4. If it was a true emergency, people would not be inclined to ignore government orders because of government's overreach. There's so much evidence coming out that the lockdown is hurting people. We hope other churches will follow along. Hey, if you're in the Denver area, send these pastors some kudos, send them some love, encourage them. And hey, if your church has not been sure about what it's going to do, maybe join them, join forces. We are definitely stronger together. In their own words, the church's attorneys argued that Colorado imposes capacity limits on houses of worship that are more severe than those that apply to other so-called critical businesses whose settings pose a similar risk of COVID-19 transmission. The state also allows a variety of exceptions to its facial covering requirement where it recognizes that removing a mask is necessary to carry out a particular activity. Oh, I don't know, like worshiping God. The Pope has embraced two-kingdom theology. In a documentary that premiered Wednesday in Rome, Pope Francis called for the passage of civil union laws for same-sex couples, departing from the position, oh, I don't know, of forever in the Bible and the Vatican's doctrinal office and the Pope's predecessors on the issue. Homosexuals have a right to be part of the family. They're children of God and have a right to a family. Yeah, sure. A real family, not a made-up family, not a make-believe family. Nobody should be thrown out or be made miserable because of it, Pope Francis says in a documentary film entitled Francesco, released on October 21st in Europe, set to premiere on Sunday in North America. What we have to create is a civil union law. That way they are legally covered, the Pope said. I stood up for that. Right. Now, remember at least two things here. First, the Pope, according to Roman Catholic dogma, is still not merely the spiritual head of the church, but the political head of the world. That's official Roman Catholic doctrine. This is historically why Americans didn't actually want to elect a Roman Catholics to office, especially the president, because the official Roman Catholic doctrine is that the Pope is the political head of the world. At least, and that's what it says in the books. So you can't give the Pope wiggle room as if he were some lame two-kingdom theologian from Southern California, as if he didn't think the claims of Christ reach into the political realm. Their official doctrine teaches that it does. And so this is not just a bone for the wolves howling at the door. No, the Roman pontiff is supposed to be Christ's chief political representative on earth. So this cannot be anything other than surrender by the Roman Church. And this leads to the second thing, which is that the Roman Catholic Church really is in the process of surrendering. They've been surrendering for a long time, but in particular to every current ism that afflicts the West. There are still some stalwart exceptions out there, but the illusion that some evangelicals have had that Roman Catholicism or Eastern Orthodoxy are somehow safe havens from crazy town is just a farce. A reminder that all the talks from this year's Fight Laugh Feast conference, Weapons for This War, are up in the club member portal. If you're a club member, hopefully you're enjoying them. And if you're not already a club member, what are you waiting for? Go to fightlaughfeast.com, support Rowdy Christian Media, become a Fight Laugh Feast club member and get access to all the talks. Doug Wilson, George Grant, David Bonson, Jeff Durbin, Glenn Sunshine, and more. Also, if you want to rock your Fight Laugh Feast bona fides, visit rowdychristian.com for shirts, hats, hoodies, beanies, and of course, that awesome post-mill coffee. Also, did you hear we started a new magazine? 4 issues a year for just $40. That's the Fight Laugh Feast magazine. Go to flfnetwork.com, click product, and then find that magazine. Subscribe, and, you know, subscribe some of your friends and pastors and elders as well. COVID deaths plummet, NPR admits with tears in their eyes. 2 new peer-reviewed studies are showing a sharp drop in mortality among hospitalized COVID-19 patients. This is from NPR. The drop is seen in all groups, including older patients and those with underlying conditions, suggesting that physicians are getting better at helping patients survive their illnesses, which is probably true. And also, probably we're just getting better numbers. We find that the death rate has gone down substantially, says Leora Horowitz, a doctor who studies population health at New York University's Grossman School of Medicine and an author on one of the studies, which looked at thousands of patients from March to August. The study, which was of a single health system, finds that mortality has dropped among hospitalized patients by 18 percentage points since the pandemic began. Patients in the study had a 25.6% chance of dying at the start of the pandemic. Wow. They now have a 7.6% chance. Horowitz and her colleagues looked at more than 5,000 hospitalizations in the New York NYU Langone Health System between March and August. They adjusted for factors including age and other diseases such as diabetes to rule out the possibility that the numbers had dropped only because younger, healthier people were getting diagnosed. They found that death rates dropped for all groups, even older patients, by 18 percentage points on average. Doctors around the country say that they're doing a lot of things differently in the fight against COVID-19 and that treatment is improving. In March and April, you got put on a breathing machine and we asked your family if they wanted to enroll you into some different trials we were participating in, and we hoped for the best, says Kalila Gates, a critical care pulmonologist at Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago. 6+ months into this, we kind of have a rhythm, and so it has become an everyday standard patient for us at this point in time. Hear that? Everyday standard patient for us at this point in time. Might also be helping that people are not panicking quite so much, screaming, shrieking that hospitals are overcrowding. Doctors have gotten better at quickly recognizing when COVID-19 patients are at risk of experiencing blood clots or debilitating cytokine storms where the body's immune system turns on itself, says Amesh Adaja, an infectious disease critical care emergency medicine physician who works at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. Department of Justice files antitrust lawsuit against the giant Google. Today, the Department of Justice, along with 11 state attorney generals, this is from justice.gov, the Department of Justice website, and this was Wednesday, filed a civil antitrust lawsuit in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia to stop Google from unlawfully maintaining monopolies through anti-competitive and exclusionary practices in the search and search advertising markets and to remedy the competitive harms. The participating state attorney general's offices represent Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, South Carolina, and Texas. Today, millions of Americans rely on the internet and online platforms for their daily lives. Competition in this industry is vitally important, which is why today's challenge against Google, the gatekeeper of the internet, for violating antitrust laws is a monumental case, both for the Department of Justice and for the American people, said Attorney General William Barr. Since my confirmation, I have prioritized the department's review of online market-leading platforms to ensure that our technology industries remain competitive. This lawsuit strikes at the heart of Google's grip over the internet for millions of American consumers, advertisers, small businesses, and entrepreneurs beholden to an unlawful monopolist. As with its historic antitrust actions against AT&T in 1974 and Microsoft in 1998, the department is again enforcing the Sherman Act to restore the role of competition, open the door to the next wave of innovation, this time in vital digital markets, said Deputy Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen. Remember, what are antitrust laws? Antitrust laws are statutes developed by governments to protect consumers from predatory business practices and ensure fair competition. Antitrust laws are applied to a wide range of questionable business activities, including market allocation, bid rigging, price fixing, and monopolies. Core U.S. antitrust law was created by three pieces of legislation: the Sherman Antitrust Act of 1890, the Federal Trade Commission Act, and the Clayton Antitrust Act. Without going into it here, the government's job is not to play God, and sometimes that means letting businesses get really big, which can enable them to throw their weight around the market some. At the same time, the government must require equal weights and measures, truth-telling, and honest dealings in the market. And on the third hand, once the government has taken up a very active referee position in the markets, it takes a lot of wisdom to try to get the refs back to the sidelines where they belong. Frequently, the government's attempt to help competition in the markets is like that home-style haircut, where you keep trimming on one side to make it even with the other, and before you know it, Junior doesn't have any bangs. This is Toby Sumter with Cross Politic News. Remember to send us stories and articles that you think we should cover to news@crosspolitic.com. You can find this and all our shows at crosspolitic.com or on our app, which you can download like thousands of others at your favorite app store. Just search Fight, Laugh, Feast. Support Rowdy Christian Media. Become a Fight, Laugh, Feast club member and get yourself your very own Fight, Laugh, Feast t-shirt, as well as access to all kinds of talks and interviews and discussions in the club portal, including access to all the talks from our first annual Fight, Laugh, Feast conference. Become a member now at FightLaughFeast.com. Have a great day.